Now, what I want you to do is turn to Habakkuk. Lord, that we just thank you for your word, and we ask you, Lord, tonight, speak to us. Give us wisdom, Lord, because wisdom is the principal thing. And we thank you there's not one thing we face, not one problem we deal with, where your wisdom will not take care of it. And we thank you, Lord, right now, for you're the one that teaches us. You're the one that causes us to understand. You're the one that opens our hearts to receive. And we receive everything you have for us tonight in the name of Jesus. Everyone who agrees, say amen. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse 1. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run with it who reads it. The vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. There is a truth about faith that's unchanging. This is a basic foundational truth. It never changes. We can't change it. It is the beginning of how faith comes and works. We can never function in faith and operate in faith until we absolutely know what the will of God is. You must know what the will of God is without doubting, without changing, without being shaken. You must know. If you don't know, you will not hold fast to the faith. You'll let it go. Because you cannot believe against God. You see. And one of the first things you must know is this. Jesus came to give life and give it more abundantly. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So if it's a bad thing happening, it ain't God. It is not God. Let no one say they're tempted of the Lord. Oh, he put me in this trial. He brought this on me. He did this to me. God did this. Your insurance policy, hurricanes, this, and other acts of God. No. It can't be any clearer than John 10:10. I came to give life and give it more abundantly. So if whatever's happening is not giving you life and life more abundantly, but it's killing, stealing, and destroying, it is the enemy. If you think for a moment that God is doing that to you and punishing you, and then you turn around and you want to have faith for it, how could you? Because all the time that you're doing that faith, you're trying to convince God to do something you're not sure he wants to do. That's why the essence of faith is that once I know the will of God, okay, then I know he has done it. Because faith is always now. Faith is always, he's done it. Faith is always, I have it now. I can't see it. Doesn't matter. Where is your believing? Do you believe because you've seen it and felt it? Or do you believe it because God said it? Most Christians, bless their heart, they love the Word and they cherish the Word, but they don't operate in faith where the Word is concerned. Because faith says, I have it now. We ask the Lord for the first 100 for Glory Tabernacle. We have them now. Well, you're crazy, John. You're crazy. You're in this room with 12 chairs. No. Glory Tabernacle has 100 that God has added already. It doesn't have to make sense. It makes faith. Amen? Just as crazy as Jesus, Lazarus was dead for 4 days, and he told him to come forth. And he came. Have you ever seen anyone resurrected from the dead, brought back from the dead? Pastor John? Yes, 2 times. Were they dead? Yes, they were. Not breathing. Dead. One was a little girl about 4 years old that fell into a tub of water and drowned. Turned blue. Took her out. The mother's screaming, she's dead, 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 dead. Went back of the room. Looked down, commanded the spirit of death to come off her. They had called the emergency people. Emergency people show up. Take the baby. The guy's saying, I think it's too late. They put her in the wagon. Within 2 minutes, 3 minutes, they called back. The baby was alive. Now, you might think that that would bring you faith. It could get your attention for a moment to hear the word. But faith only comes by hearing the word. Your mind will try to figure out, which some of yours might have already, she wasn't really dead. Well, she was in the tub for 10 minutes. How long can you stay underwater? But you see, in the end, it doesn't matter what the explanation is. In the end, what matters is she's alive. Because that's the goal. Not impressing anyone. It's all about the baby being alive and alive today. And the mother and the dad not going through the sorrow and not being robbed by the thief. Amen. But when you, faith comes by hearing the word, it comes by hearing the will of God. Because the word of God is the will of God. So you say, well, how do I know what the will of God is? We got an entire book telling us. And I assure you, which I've done many, 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 many times, I've made this statement. The answer to your problem is in here. Sat down, prayed over it, until the Lord said, scripture and verse. went in there, found that scripture, found that chapter, that verse, and therein was the answer. Many times. Why do you want that? Because I want an anchor to get a hold of. I have it not only on good authority of the Word of God, I have it, not only do I hear it, I got it written. So that I don't forget. So that I don't drift away from that. Now here in Habakkuk, the reason I came to this portion of Scripture, you might think, well, how do you start there and go there? Because here, it's talking about how to hear God and what to do when you do. See, I see one of the things lacking the most in the body of Christ, which is taught the least, because there's an assumption made, I think, that everybody can hear God accurately. And I know in my own life, I've struggled with that at times. And I've gone to the Lord, you teach me how to hear from you. That I know that it's you. How many have ever had that? Is this me or God? Huh. That's God through me. But that's a common malady. We're not sure. And you have to be sure that it is the will of God. Amen? That doubt has to go. You can't have that doubt. Because that doubt will rob you. Well, there's a truth here. The more that I hear the word, the more what comes? Faith. 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 Well, if I'm not hearing the word much, what's going to be coming? Doubt. Fear. Double-mindedness, which is a cousin to doubt. I don't know what to believe. I'm so confused. Amen? Well, one of the best ways to hear the word is to be in this, walking in these truths right here in Habakkuk chapter 2. So the first thing that I want to do is to understand this. I am a child of God. I'm a son and daughter of God. If you're born again, again is not really the best translation. That means from above. Born from above. In the 80s, they tried to make an entire denomination called born again. It's not. You're born from above when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and God imparts His very nature. And our dead spirit is connected with life, and we're made a new creation by the power of God. And you wake up changed, and you know it. You may not all know all the hows and whys, but you know you're different. And because of that, understand this. You have the right to hear from God. It's like a birthright. It's like a baby, our granddaughter, who's 4 months old, 5 months old, keeps insisting she has a right to be fed. And won't take no for an answer. We'll just cry and cry hungry cry. Until when? She gets fed. Otherwise, it's not stopping. See, she doesn't know any better than to know that I'm here. Mm-hmm. I want to eat. It's time. It's my right. She's born with it. She couldn't have been taught it because we haven't been able to teach her anything. But boy, it didn't take her long to figure out, it's time to eat. Feed me. We need to have the same attitude when it comes to hearing God. that God has made us right with Him because of Jesus. And there's not one thing, not one lie, there's not anything that you can ever do, there's no sin you can commit that will stop the voice of God from coming to you. What do you mean? Exactly what I mean. There is no sin that you could commit that would stop the voice of God. Let me ask you a question. If you think it's that difficult to get a hold of. Did Adam sin? Been down if you believe that. Adam sinned, right? Did God come and talk to him after he sinned? Did Adam hear him? Sure, Adam came up with all the alibis. The one you gave me, her, Lord, wasn't me. Yeah, the woman you gave me, so he blamed God and her. Right? Took no responsibility on his own. However, do you think he was hearing God? Absolutely. Did God come looking for him after he sinned? Sure. And that was even before Jesus. How much better is it now? Amen? Adam sinned, the big one. And God came looking for him. And sin was imputed to him. Sin isn't even imputed to us because of the Lord Jesus and we're in him. Amen? So number one, you have a birthright. You have a right given to you because you're born into the family of God and God is your Father to hear his voice. Amen? And that is his will for you to hear it. It would be unfair for God to say, hear my voice and not talk to you. Amen? So here it says, we take the position before God that enables us to hear his voice. In other words, let me put it this way. We must set aside a time to hear him. We can't be going around with our whole schedule all day long, get up in the morning and start going, give it a quick thank you, Jesus, and off we go in our busy schedule and do everything that we've got to do and hear the voice of God. It's not that God's not talking, it's that we need to get quiet. Quiet our mind. Quiet ourselves down. 3/4 of my praying is listening. Unfortunately, we've had a doctrine in the church that prayer with God is us talking all the time and him saying nothing. And we think that's prayer. Where Jesus said this, don't be like the Pharisees who talk to God. And they think they will be heard because of their many words. He said, they get nothing. It is true. Some of the most powerful prayers are the shortest ones. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to set aside, now we're looking right here. I will stand my watch. Habakkuk 2:1. I will stand my watch. That's meeting with the Lord regularly in your place of prayer, wherever that is. You don't have to do that. You don't even have to pray. Okay? You don't have to. It's your choice. Oh, boy, if I don't pray with him. No. You pray because you want to, not because you have to. Anytime anybody comes to me and say, I got to do this because I have to, say, quit doing it. Quit doing it until you want to. That'd take about an hour. When the want to, that's grace. That's grace working, the want to. Let me tell you what else grace is. It's this. I can do anything I want to, but I don't want to. I can go out there and sin, but I don't want to. And guess what? You don't. But grace doesn't come into play. It doesn't come in force. It does not rule in our life when we're living by the don't. Don't walk on the grass. First thing we want to do is walk on the grass. Don't touch the wet paint. Paint wet, don't touch. Oh, it is. Without even thinking. Draws it out of us. So, you're not getting into prayer. You're not even getting into hearing. I want to hear you, Lord. Not I have to. You get to the place where you have to hear, you have to pray. You're about to have the busiest day you've ever had in your life coming up the next day. As soon as you say, you leave here tonight and you go, I got to go pray. I'm going to pray. You'll have the busiest day tomorrow you've ever had. Because the enemy will see to it. And then he'll come in and condemn you because you. Our minds need to be renewed because our mind goes, wow, what's going on here? But in here, you know it's true. What I'm saying. Amen. Okay, so we're regularly meeting in the place of prayer. That's I will stand my watch. Okay. And set myself on the rampart to watch, now catch this, to see what he will say to me. To see what he will say to me. To see what he will say to me. Remember Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father say, and I only do what I've seen him do. You want total success always, where the enemy cannot have his way, where he can't do anything? Do you want complete and total dominion and authority over every circumstance in your life, any tribulation that comes from the world? See, let me throw this in real quick. Jesus said, you're in the world, you'll have tribulation. The whole world's tribulating. Recession. Are we in the world? Yes. Are we subject to that? We are, could be subject to it. Unless we understand that Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And we get a little mixed up on this trouble and tribulation. We think it's reserved for Christians over here. Oh, no, no, no. The world's a mess. The curse has been on it since the fall, since Adam's sin. Curse operating in the world all the time. And if we don't, what is the victory that overcomes the world? Even our faith. It's not a special kind of problem reserved for the church. It's the church not knowing how to exercise the faith in the overcoming of the recession or $4 a gallon gas. I don't care if it's 20. I am not of the world. I'm in it. And I'm of good cheer because Jesus has overcome it. So Jesus is overcoming the gas price for me, for you. It's just money. Somebody asked Billy Graham one day when Howard Hughes, everybody familiar with Howard Hughes, the billionaire guy with the airplanes and movie stuff, when he passed away, they asked Billy Graham, how much you think he left money when he went? And Billy Graham said, I don't know what the amount was, but he left it all. There's only one thing that goes with you other than your spirit and soul to heaven from this earth. Your relationships. We'll all be in heaven. And I'll say, Dick, you remember that time? You go, yeah, I do. Lori, you remember that time? Yeah, I do. So what is the only thing that really counts for anything in this life? A relationship with God and a relationship with others. Everything else is window dressing. The streets in heaven are made of gold. 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 It's like so good you see through it. And I've told you the one about the guy that wanted to bring just one thing. Did I tell you that? The fellow says to the Michael the Archangel, and he says, can I just bring one thing from earth with me to heaven? Just one? And finally he goes, okay, you can bring one thing with you. So the guy goes and he gets a suitcase and he fills it up with gold. And he arrives in heaven and he opens the suitcase and here the people come walking over and they go, you brought pavement? Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so we're looking for God to speak to us, and he does it in this case. Okay, it isn't always the way, but here's what I'm referring to this one for, because I want you to begin to hear the word and receive faith in dreams and visions. Okay, we're at the place now. It's time for you to stand the watch to see and allow God to give you a dream and a vision. To see it. See, Lord, show me. Show me. And what God will do by His Spirit, He will let you, He will have you see it in your heart. See it in your imagination. You don't see it out here, but when you see it done. The Lord had us, and I don't do this often, I have permission. The Lord had us to sew Priscilla's car. We didn't actually, God has enough cars. We're driving one car. It wasn't because we didn't have two cars. It's before we left, the Lord said, I want her to, want Priscilla to sew that car. Sow a seed, because we were asking for a new car for her. So we sowed the car she had, so right now we're driving the one car, kind of juggling a little here and there, okay? But here's the deal. She sees that car in the driveway. It's a Hyundai, it's a Sonata. And we drive by that place up here. Every time she goes, thank you for my new car. Thank you for my new car. Thank you for my new car. Every time we drive by. Okay? That's a vision. That's a dream. And it's okay to have one like that. It is. God wants us to drive reliable transportation. Amen? He doesn't want us to be in debt. Amen? This is the will of God. Amen? So there's a dream and a vision. There's a dream. There's a vision. But that dream and vision, that while you're standing that watch, it says, see. See what he will say. You have loved ones. You want to see them saved. See them saved. See them praising God. See them right here. We don't look at those things which are temporal. We look at the things that are eternal. See, where's your focus? What are you focusing on? What do you spend all your time focusing on? You focusing on the circumstance and how bad it is? Are you focusing on $4 a gallon for gas? We're not focusing on, we have one car. We're focusing on, thank you, Lord, for the new car. Well, where did you get that from, Pastor John? Well, I'm glad you asked. Put a little marker in Habakkuk, because we'll go back there in a second. Turn to Romans. Romans chapter 4. Verse 19, we're talking about Abraham, we're talking about Abraham's faith. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead and the deadness of Sarah's womb. I want you to look at this. Did not consider. What that means is he wasn't focused on it. The phrase there in the Greek for not consider, he didn't pay attention to it. He didn't listen, okay, to anybody saying she's too old. He did not consider. Consider there means he didn't pay attention to. He didn't give it words. He didn't talk about it. He didn't think about it. He didn't dwell on it. He did not consider the circumstance. He did not consider the circumstance. So what did he consider? He did not waver, verse 20, at the promise of God through unbelief. What is the promise of God? It's any promise that God has given you, and especially when you have that vision you see. Now faith is the thing hoped for. The promise is the thing hoped for. And it's not like hoping something good will happen. That phrase, thing hoped for, is what God has already orchestrated and authored in your life. But my part of that is to see it. To see what he has done. See, in the mind of God right now, and in the realm of the Spirit, that car is already given. He's already provided it. In his mind and heart, 100 is in Glory Tabernacle. He's already added them. Well, how did you do that? I was praying, and I was listening to God. And he said, I've given you the first 100. Well, I know what to do with the promise. He knows I know what to do with it. And maybe if you didn't know what to do with it, that's no problem. He'll let you know. Meet you wherever you're at. But as we grow, and we do grow, we grow in grace, we grow in wisdom, then God communicates a little differently because he knows what we know. So he can say something to someone who's, how many of you know he talked different to Abraham toward the end of Abraham's life than he did at the very beginning? Do you think for a moment when he was having trouble getting Abraham out of the land of Chaldeans to leave his kindred behind and come into the land I'm going to show you, he could have said to him, sacrifice Isaac? Wouldn't have happened. Why? Because his faith hadn't been developed to that point. So our faith is always developing and growing and getting stronger. Well, how does that happen? Because we use it. Amen? So now, he did not waver, but was strengthened in faith. Now that phrase there says he was empowered by faith to give glory to God. It wasn't him giving glory to God that strengthened his faith. It was the faith was there that he gave glory to God. Well, what was his faith in? In the promise. I have it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God for the new car. Worry is a form of considering the circumstance. Fear is a form of considering the circumstance. The enemy wants you to look at that, and so he can get that spirit of fear working. And guess what? Works the same way. People who are very, very fearful, they see themselves fired from their job before it happens. They see themselves laid off before it happens. They see themselves broke before all they're hearing is recession. See how it works? God gives us a lot more choice than we really realize. Much, much more than we really, I'm beginning to understand it more and more. Amen? Oh, yeah. When he said, give them dominion, he meant it. He was serious. give them dominion over everything that I've created. Amen? Okay, so now we're looking. I will watch to see. Watch to see what he will say to me. And then listen for the word of the Lord, and he will say to me, keep, now here's the thing, keep a journal. It says write it down, right? Does he say that there? Write it down, write the vision. Yes, we're back in Habakkuk. Did I leave you off the wayside there? All right, holding on. Over to Habakkuk. My fault, I should have directed you there. Now, we're back in verse 2. Then the Lord answered me. So now he's heard. You've seen the dream, the vision, you have it. Now, is it limited dreams and visions? No, he can speak to you. And you can it can come by a knowing. It can come by still small voice. He could show up in the room and tell you. Walk right in, sit down. I'm here to tell you this. Now, you always, always, always leave it up to God how he wants to communicate to you. You don't tell him how to talk to you. Because the enemy will hear and he'll furnish you something that won't be good. Enemy's at a gross disadvantage. One of the reasons he's at a disadvantage, he don't know nothing until we tell him. So sometimes it's good to just kind of keep it until God says it's okay. Amen. He doesn't know. Enemy does not know our heart. He doesn't know what's going on inside. God does. He hears every thought. He hears. That's why the blood of Jesus is so wonderful. When the flood came, it came because man did not have one righteous thought. Mankind had turned completely evil, even in the thoughts and intents of their heart, other than Noah. Now, remember Sunday I told you, if you're going to get rid of the sin, you have to get rid of the sinner. And there was no blood of Jesus to set that mankind free from them demons. So the merciful thing to do was the flood, because they would have gone on and on in that state, just experiencing death, more death, more death, because the wages of sin is death. So, for those on Sunday, I'm going to repeat it. So God arranged what? An execution. When Jesus went to the cross, we went with him. He killed the sinner and gave us Jesus' righteousness. And so that sin nature, dead on the cross, righteousness nature, he gave us. Because we're born from above. Amen? It's a great deal. Really a great deal. All right, now, then you write it in the journal. Keep a journal of things God says. Write the vision. Okay? Once you have that, okay, that journal, what does the word promise? The vision shall surely come. So you stand, you wait, you see, and you hear, and you write. And you can go to the Lord anytime that you have that vision. She or I, with the car, we can go to the Lord and say, Lord, your word says it will not tarry. Because it will surely come. Here's a big thing. But at the end, verse 3. Let me start off at the beginning. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak. Every single time your faith comes to fruition, and every single time that comes about in your life, it will speak. It'll speak of the glory of God. It'll speak of the faithfulness of God. It will speak that He is true. It will speak He cannot fail, and not only to you, but everyone else around you. Because I assure you, when she drives that car, and I know somebody's going to say, and maybe more than that, how'd you get that? Whew, beautiful. Sit down a minute, I'll tell you. Amen? It will speak. You don't have to speak. It'll speak. You say, well, the words are coming out of my mouth. Yeah, that's all God needs is just let the words come out. You don't need to come up with anything. He'll give them to you. Amen? Wait. See, so what's the bottom line? Here's the bottom line of what I'm saying tonight. It's our place to hear. It's our place to believe. It's our place to know that we have it now. And it's God's place to bring it about. It is not our place to bring it about. Abraham tried to bring it about, and we just have a lot of trouble now. Called Ishmael, which is all those Arab nations who want to wipe Israel out, came from Abraham's trying to make it happen. But God promised me, no, don't believe for the car and then go, but God wants me to have a car and so forth and so on, and why should I wait a little bit longer? I think I'll go down there and buy, and I'll sign this note for 16% interest and only $450 a month. You've made it come to pass, and you've rationalized it because God wants me to have the car. No. Abraham was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he will bring to pass. He does not need our flesh fingerprints on anything that he does. Because in the end, God gets all the glory. God gets all the glory. Did you hear me? God gets all the glory. There's none left over for us. It's not, see what my faith got me? Mighty man of faith and power I am. Look at me. No, it's not that. Your faith accessed His grace. Because in the end, we didn't deserve any of it anyway. We're not to exalt ourselves, but God can. Jesus never exalted Himself, but God the Father made Him Lord. He exalted Him. Jesus never exalted Himself. And Jesus is Lord, the whole universe. Joseph, he's in the dungeon, never exalted Himself, and yet God made Him second in command of all the world at that time. Amen? You see, with the Lord, which is the opposite of the... See, the world says the end justifies the means. I want to be rich. It doesn't matter how I get there. I'll cheat. I'll steal. I'll do whatever. But the end justifies how I got there because, after all, I'm supposed to be rich. With the Lord, it's the opposite. The ends never justify the means. The means by which we arrive at being rich is all important. Amen? Can you see the difference? The world functions on hope of reward, fear of punishment. Kingdom of God operates on love and trust. Love and trust. Love and trust. Not bribery, not fear, not hope of reward. Not what the whole world system is based on. We're not moved by that. This is the problem. If you bribe somebody into the kingdom of God, then you have to bribe them bigger to keep them in. If you scare them in, then you've got to scare them bigger to keep them in. So what do you mean? Well, I received Jesus because I didn't want to go to hell. People who come into the kingdom on that message don't usually stay. They fall away or they're easily gone away. Why? Because they got scared into it. Not faith into it, feared into it. I'm not tithing because I'm afraid that I'm going to be cursed if I don't. Keep it. Keep it. Job had his problems. Job 3:25, the thing I feared the most has come upon me. His own fear opened him up to all the problem that he had. God didn't do it to him. Satan did do it to him, but Satan did it to him because he had access through the fear. And Job's own words, Job 3:25, the thing I fear the most comes upon me. You rebuke fear, okay, every single time. Don't say the fear. Don't entertain the fear. Don't think about the fear. It is your enemy. And that is the spiritual force that the enemy uses to try to get what he wants to do to come to pass. And you've got children in schools being taught now that a little bit of fear is good. Masquerading as wisdom. Don't let fear masquerade as wisdom in your mind and your heart and cause you to talk it and act on it, because it shall surely come to pass. No fear. Fear not, Jesus said. Fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. Be of good courage. Well, I can't go down to that church that's teaching faith. How can I do that? I mean, if I go down there, what will people say? Fear. You do know that fear is the number one force that keeps people from going and doing what God is telling them to do. Okay? And the root to the fear is unbelief. The unbelief just opens the door to the spirit of fear. And unbelief is believing something other than what God just told you. That's why you have to write it down. Write it down. You're not writing it down for God. You're not writing it down for me. You're writing that down for yourself so that you have that. That's why the prophecies we want typed out. Can anybody remember the prophecy an hour ago? Word for word? I can't. A lot of times I don't even know what I just said. I listen to it. Why? Keep the word in our eyes. Keep it in the midst of our heart. Well, if I got a prophecy, which to me is the word of God to me, I'm not saying it's the same as for everyone. Now, if you hear a prophecy and it doesn't line up somewhere with the word of God, throw it out. But if that prophecy lines up with the word of God, you write that prophecy down and you put your faith on it. There's a lot of people hear prophecy and it doesn't come to pass because they don't handle it in the way that you handle the word. I have to give you one last verse of scripture, and we'll be done. Hebrews chapter 4. How many of you know that God wants us to rest? He wants us to rest. He doesn't want us toiling. He doesn't want us toiling for a living. He doesn't want us toiling to get things. He wants us to rest. Rest is so important. Amen? Well, look at here in Hebrews chapter 4. Well, go to Hebrews 3:18, two verses from 4:1. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? Verse 18. Everybody there? So we see, say I see, they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. All disobedience is because of unbelief. All disobedience. So when you hear the word of the Lord and you're not obeying the word of the Lord, it's only because you don't believe it. Unbelief is the root of all disobedience. And because they didn't believe, what did God say? I've given you the promised land. This is the children of Israel. He brought out of Egypt, powerful. They come in. It's a 3-week trip across the wilderness. He's bringing them into the promised land out of slavery in Egypt, where they had no power to get out. This is a type of salvation, being in the world and have no power to get out. And God brings us out with a strong hand. Then he goes, you're out. Now go into the promised land, the place of rest. Amen? Therefore, verse 1, chapter 4. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. Verse 2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. They heard it, and yet it didn't profit, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Now, when you see the word gospel, you say, well, wait a minute now. The gospel was preached to the children of Israel. Gospel always means any good news, the good news of grace, gospel of grace, the good news of Jesus, the good news. Gospel always means you're hearing the good news of what God has already done. Otherwise, it's not good news. Christianity is supposed to be good news. If there's no good news, it's not Christianity. It's some other religion or brand of whatever or denomination. What he has already done, that's the gospel. So what did he tell them? I've already given you the promised land. All that land I promised to Abraham, that's yours. Go in and get it. Good news, right? What did he say to us? Verse 3, for we who have believed do enter that rest. Those who what? Have believed. Have believed do enter rest. So, you can hear the word, hear the word, hear the word, hear the word for years, and it not profit you. Well, number one, he gave us the word why? To profit us. Not to put us in bondage. To profit us. To be beneficial. To profit us. To make us free. To prosper us. To be healthy. Amen? Amen? But there are people who hear it, hear it, hear it, hear it, years and years and years and years, and it doesn't profit them. Why? Because they didn't mix it with the faith that God gave them. There are people that come and hear it all the time. They're ever learning, but they're never coming to a knowledge of the truth. It doesn't seem to work for them. And after a while, they just fall away. And that stuff don't work. And that faith stuff, and this here, and that Jesus stuff, and all that. And they're just out there. Where? In the wilderness. Just getting along. God sustaining them from his mercy and grace. But they're just being fed and they're just getting along and so forth and so on. Because they didn't mix it with faith. We must mix the word we hear with faith. Mix it. Commingle is the Greek word. Commingle it. Well, how do I do that? Should I let you go now or should I tell you how to do that? Want to know how to do it? Okay. So we know in Corinthians, what did Paul say? If you have the spirit of faith, it says, I believe, therefore I spoke. See, believe is the verb form of faith. The believing is the action that the noun faith, the spiritual force of faith, does. Believing is very powerful. Tremendously powerful. It's the thing that God's interested in. He's not interested in all of your good works. What he's interested in is, what do you believe? Not interested of how good do-gooder or whatever it is, or how much we've done and how much we accomplished. He's not even interested in how many souls we've won. Not interested in how much ministry we're doing. He's not interested in the size of the church necessarily. You know, what he's interested in is, what do you believe about my son Jesus? Because none of the other stuff is going to, number one, get you in heaven. If you get to the pearly gates and Peter's there, a little kind of dealy we kind of thought up, the pearly gates and all of that, if that were the case. And Peter said, why should I let you in? There ain't any point of unraveling a big bunch of stuff you did, because I ain't going to get you in. Why should I let you in? I know Jesus. It's not what you've done. It's who you know. Amen? So now, I'm mixing faith. And the very first thing I must do to mix faith with the gospel, what I'm hearing is, I must respond. I must respond to God. I must answer. I must respond. I have to give a response. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I believe it. Thank you, Lord. It's mine. If I do not respond, I have not mixed it with faith. Amen? And you'd be surprised how many people do not respond. And they don't respond because of their unbelief. Even something other they just heard. Somebody walks up to a person and says, if you confess Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart he's raised from the dead, you shall be saved. You can say that to the person from now until Jesus comes, but until they respond, that's all they've done is heard it. And it will not profit them. Second, you must act upon the word. You must act upon what you heard. You say, well, how do I act upon it? When I say to you, see, this is how I know that people still must hear, when they hear they're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that they haven't mixed it with faith. Only way that you can be righteous before God, in right standing with Him, and have Him deal with you as if you've never sinned, as if you've done all the will of God your whole life, as if you are perfect like Jesus, that's the righteousness of God that He has given to us, is by faith. It isn't righteousness by works. You can't get there. You can't get there righteousness by works. You can't be good enough. Who wants to be the best person who ever went to hell? The thing about it is it's not making ourselves better that gets it done. Amen? It's the righteousness of God that He has made us. Now, if you believe that you're the righteousness of God and you receive that by faith, then you're going to act toward God righteous. Listen to yourself pray sometimes. Praying is the first place that it shows up. If you're trying to get God to do something He's already done, oh God, help me. Oh God, heal me. Oh God, heal me. Oh God, heal this. Oh God, do this. Oh God, please. God, 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 God. That is not righteousness by faith. And I use this illustration. Our two boys, our two oldest boys, Joe, who's 34, and Dave, who's 32. When they come to our house, you know what they do? They throw open the front door. They walk in. They walk over to the refrigerator. They check it out. They make a sandwich for themselves. They sit down. They do whatever they want to do. They don't even ask. Why? Because they know that we're their parents. They know they're right with us. They know they're our children. And they exercise that right they have to do that. But in the meantime, somebody else's child doesn't do that in our house. What's the difference? They have a righteousness with John and Priscilla consciousness that says, I can come in there and I can get a sandwich. I can make a meal. I can do whatever I want. And I don't even have to have permission. Amen? Now, I have two son-in-laws, and at the wedding, I said this to them. I said, from this day on, you are to us just like our sons. And whatever we do for them, we'll do for you. So what did I just say? I said, you're right with us. You're as right with us as Joe and Dave is with us. They still ring the doorbell. Well, I don't feel right. I don't feel right. Now, if they're with either of them or with my daughters, they open the door up and they come in. Our oldest daughter has two children, and they'll be growing up. They ain't going to grow up without that righteousness consciousness. They're going to grow up, these are my grandparents, I got to do whatever. You see the difference? Can you see the difference when it's righteousness by faith? What was the problem with my two son-in-laws? They didn't believe what I told them. It hadn't registered. It hasn't. Because if they believed what I told them, what would they have done? They'd come in like the other ones. They've seen them do it. And they would act the same way. They would act the same way toward us as the two oldest. But here's what happens. After a while, after some years go by and they're around and all that, they begin to believe it more. And so they begin to what? Act righteous. Well, what do I mean by that? If you're begging for a healing, you're not righteous by faith because you have a right to be healed. If you're begging for your needs to be met, you have a right to have your needs met. God is your Father. And the issue is, do I believe that I'm right with Him or not? Because the moment I don't believe that I'm right with Him, if there's something within me, you say, well, I did this, you are going to allow the unbelief to keep you from the promise. Over here, one last thing. In Hebrews chapter 4, where it says that God swore in His wrath they would not enter His rest. Well, let me ask you a question. If you told somebody something, a relative, a son, a daughter, a husband, a wife, or even just a neighbor, and that person said, I don't believe you, would that be offensive? To most people. There's only one reason why our children ever disobeyed us when they did. They didn't believe what we told them. That's the way it always is. If they believed what we told them, they would have done it. But we like to be believed. And so does God. And it's offensive when we're not believed. So if I went, I don't have any paper money on me. I'm going to do it this way. If I took 50 cents and I put it there and I said, cheers, Laurie, here's the 50 cents. Go ahead, take it. It's your 50 cents. Go ahead and take it. What does she have to do? Now, why did she do it? Now, you convinced her. And it could be a little bit that way. But you took it because you got to the point where you believed it. So God says, I am going to do this, or I've done this, I've done that, I've done this. Your sins are all forgiven. Do you really believe it? If you really believe all your sins are forgiven you, and it's not, no sin is imputed to you by God, then you know that He never deals with us according to sin. Ever. But yet, we've got scads of people in the body of Christ, unfortunately, that believe that He does, when there is no truth to that whatsoever. He says in His word, I will be angry with you no more. It'll be like the days of Noah, where He put the rainbow in the sky. I will not be angry with you anymore. And yet people go around all over the place saying, He's angry. Who do you believe? Well, this is what happened to them. The spies went into the promised land, 12 of them. 12 came back. 10 of them said, there are giants in the land, this and that. We're not well able to take. We can't take them. We can't go in. Caleb and Joshua said, we go in there now and take possession immediately. It's ours to take. Who'd they believe? They believed the 10 with the bad report. And the word says that They saw themselves as grasshoppers, and so did the enemy. Okay? The enemy is going to deal with you according to your faith. And your faith is what shows you who you are. And he'll deal with you according to how you see yourself. We were grasshoppers in their sight. Because they were grasshoppers in their own sight first. Now, I need to be hearing from God all the time. All the time. I want to hear from God. I want to hear from God. I want to hear from God. Why? I don't want to be a grasshopper in my own sight. I want to know how God sees me, and he don't see me as a grasshopper. Amen. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you.